As we get your work week started, we've got a lot to talk about with the Indianapolis Colts, of course, college football, high school football. It's all right here on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy, our in-studio producer. Coming up on the show, we'll be joined by Don Fisher in hour number two. It is our 15 Minutes with Fish, presented as always by Cruzy Automotive Service. And, of course, Indiana Hoosiers kind of laid an egg at Nebraska. A real winnable game for Indiana, but we'll get to it because there's plenty to talk about with what the Indiana Hoosiers did and didn't do against a Nebraska team that's really pretty pathetic, especially defensively. But we'll cover that all. We've got Don Fisher at 5:20. You know, my brain's a little bit of a fog today because yesterday I got my fall vaccines. So I'm boosted and I've got my flu vaccine. I got one vaccine I've still got to get, and that's the pneumonia vaccine that I'm scheduled for. But I decided to go with the double up. First time I've ever done a double up on vaccines, and got the new Moderna booster, the COVID booster. But then I also got the flu vaccine at the same time. And they put one in one arm, one in the other. And they both hurt.
That can't be comfortable.
No, I didn't. I've never had a problem with vaccines. And usually I've never even felt them. But last night, little bit of a very mild fever. But I took a couple of Tylenol. It kicked it. It wasn't a real problem. But I just felt it coming on. And then today it's just been lethargic feeling. I mean, I just feel like I've been worn out. And so I got to get through the day. Now, we started our weekend out at Homestead on Friday night. And, of course, we had a live show out there, went on after the Homestead Carroll game. We went on to the Coventry Pizza Hut. And I walk in to our post-game show, and there's a guy sitting there wearing a Sports Rush T-shirt. How cool was that?
Yeah, very cool. He had come up to me before you had gotten there and said he listened every day, 4 to 6. So might be listening right now. And if you're out there, hope you enjoy your shirt.
Swagmaster Adam Lundy giving out the shirts. So anyway, we appreciate that. We'll figure out where we're going to be this Friday because now we're counting down. It's week number 8. There's only 2 weeks left in the regular season. You know, here's the thing. We've tried to focus on teams that are competing for championships and tried to find the best matchups we can get with those teams. The problem is teams at the top, like the Norwells, the Carrolls, the Adams Centrals, they're so dominant that even when the next best challenger plays them, we're seeing blowouts. And we saw another one on Friday with Carroll just dominating after it was a good game for about half a quarter when it went back and forth. And at one point, Homestead led in the football game. What was it? 10-7, mm-hmm. 14-10, whatever it was. And then Carroll just blitzed him.
Took it from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Blitzed him from that point forward. And so Carroll ends up winning that game big over Homestead. You had Norwell big over DeKalb, 62-14. Adams Central big over Southern Wells, 63-0. Hard to find games where you've got the drama for the first place finish in a conference when the teams that are in first place are winning by those kind of margins. So what we're doing is we're kind of evaluating, okay, what are some of the best matchups, and then contacting schools to see who's got room for us, because obviously radio needs to be in the front row of a press box. And it's not because we feel like we're special. It's because when you do a radio play-by-play, you need to be able to see all of the details of every play. We also don't have the advantages of having a TV monitor like the TV or video play-by-play guys do. And so we need to have a front spot. You know, back row, producers, people that are doing stats, whatever, they can sit in the back, but we need front row seats. And unfortunately, in some places, that isn't always the case. And so so they take like 5 seats in the front row for the production staff, the supervisor, the statistician, play-by-play, color. Next thing you know, little radio station like us got no room in the front row. So we'll figure out where we can be this coming Friday for our high school football game of the week. on 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM. But you had a chance to take a little road trip yesterday. You had an experience at the in the Motor City.
Yes, I did. Took my mom up to Detroit to see her first Tigers game at Comerica Park, and she had a good time. Yeah.
And I found out you fooled her, too. You actually made her believe that this was some kind of a playoff chase game, right?
No, I mean, she just may have not known that this game had absolutely no meaning whatsoever before attending.
You kind of burst your bubble when you got there and said, okay, now what are they playing for? Nothing really.
Nothing at all.
Nothing really.
Pride.
Nothing. It's more the experience for us, but, yesterday had a chance to see the Colts game and, boy, maybe that was 3.5 hours I'd like to have back. You know, here's the problem. The Colts have the same issues week in, week out and are not correcting them. It's like, how can you continue to have these flat starts every single game? You thought maybe they would learn the lesson by going into Houston, a team they should have dominated, and allowing Houston to jump out to that big lead, 20-3, and think, okay, we gave them too much confidence early on and never were able to come all the way back and win the game. Now we did end up getting back even and tied it, and the Colts maybe could have had an opportunity to win it if they could kick a 42-yard field goal. But then they come back the next week, do the same thing. Get caught on their heels. Jacksonville takes advantage. Make Trevor Lawrence look like he's all-pro quarterback. And then, of course, yesterday we see what the Eagles are doing to Lawrence, stripping the ball from him four times. I think he had four fumbles, not a real good game. Philadelphia, though, did get behind 14-0, but they came back against Jacksonville and got the win, something that the Colts had zero opportunity to do, got beat 24-0. And then same thing, really, against Kansas City. The Colts really didn't control that game at any point. Kansas City just wouldn't take it. You know, it's one of those things where the Colts played against Kansas City. And if you think about this, the Colts just kept trying to give it to Kansas City, give it to Kansas City, give it to Kansas City, and they missed field goals or they went for it on fourth down. Kansas City wouldn't take advantage of all the things the Colts were doing to give the game away. And as a result, the Colts stayed within range and ended up finding a way to win the game late. And that's what happens when you're a good team and you don't put away another team, is they end up beating you. And so the Colts got the win over Kansas City, who, by the way, had quite an impressive game yesterday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You wonder how much Ian affected Tampa and their preparations. Because even if you take them out of town and get them to an isolated spot to practice, they still might have homes or families or boats or who knows, that they've got to be concerned about, they've got to deal with when they come back. It's a mess down there in Florida. From Fort Myers, Tampa, not the worst of it, but still, there were impacts felt in the Tampa area. But yeah, it almost looked like Tampa just was not prepared to play yesterday, and Kansas City took advantage of the Buccaneers. And I think Kansas City may have been a little bit upset after what had happened to them the week before against the Colts.
Yeah, wanted a little bit of revenge sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, Colts apparently, you know, playing poorly doesn't motivate them all that much because they come back and play poorly again and start the game in another hole. Down 24-3 to Tennessee yesterday. You already are 0-1-1 in your division. You've only got 6 division games. So you're hitting the halfway point of your divisional schedule, and you don't want to avoid, or you don't want to have, no wins after the first round against Houston, Jacksonville, Tennessee. And the Colts do. They don't have a win. They're 0-2-1 now after not being able to complete the comeback against Tennessee. Now, there's plenty of things I take away from this game that I don't feel horrible about. First of all, the Colts, once they got it on track, Colts actually dominated Tennessee through most of the second half, late second quarter, most of the second half. Dominated them. They held Tannehill to almost nothing, 137 yards passing. That's not going to beat anybody. even though he was 17 of 21, which did surprise me because I thought the Colts forced more incompletions, but a lot of those were little swing passes to Derrick Henry. 17 of 21 for Tannehill for only 137 yards. Derrick Henry did run for 114 yards. It's something that normally he does not have those kind of games against the Indianapolis Colts. He got most of his yards in the first half when Tennessee jumped out to that 24-3 lead, but it seemed like in the second half, the Colts got on track, and they were the team we expect them to be, but when you're already down 24-3, it's just very tough to complete the comeback.
Yeah, you only get so many possessions per half, so, you know.
Yeah, you've got to make the most of them, and you can't fumble with 8 minutes to go when you're, where were they, about the 30-35-yard line? I mean, they were moving into a decent position, Tennessee side of the 50, and Jonathan Taylor then had the fumble, which was also a play which he got hurt and ends up now, we don't know the status. Colts aren't giving an update on Jonathan Taylor. It's some type of an ankle sprain, but there was word last night that the Colts were concerned it was a high ankle sprain, which could keep him out for weeks. If it's a low ankle sprain, it may keep him out for days. Might be something you could tape up. But if it's a high ankle sprain, that's usually something that could be that 4, 5, 6 week period. So we'll find out more, I guess. It's a short week, so we're gonna have to find out something pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty soon here.
Jonathan Taylor had that fumble with 8 minutes and 40 seconds left. And up to that point, it seemed like the Colts had taken full control of this football game. Tennessee was doing nothing offensively. The Colts were stuffing Derrick Henry at the line of scrimmage, generally holding him to maybe a yard or 2 yards on almost every carry. And, the sad part of it, like I said, when are the Colts going to learn and when are they going to adjust? And it seems like a broken record every time Frank Reich talks after disappointing Colts performances, and he did it again yesterday.
Still feel all of our goals are out in front of us. Feel like we're seeing some things that we want to see. We just need to play better. We need to execute better. We need to not stop turning the ball over, and we need to get more turnovers. And, we need to run the football a little bit better. And, and start faster.
I mean, did he miss anything? That's basically, if you kind of go back and retrack that, it's get a faster start, which Colts have been horrible at. They need to run the football better. Yes, that's obvious because Jonathan Taylor barely had 40 yards on 20 carries, 2.1 yards per carry average. What else did he say? Win the turnover battle, force the turnovers. Last year, when the Colts turned the season around, it was because the defense all of a sudden started forcing turnovers. And right now, the Colts are getting buried in the turnover department.
Yeah, he said, have less turnovers on our side and cause more on the other side, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same thing. Well, I'm glad you've got it figured out, Frank, but now do something about it because it's week after week after week where it's the same issues, but there's no resolve. There's no... there's no fixing it. And you cannot keep doing this week after week and not have it fixed. And the start is what's so disappointing. You're playing at home. You should have momentum. You should be able to take control of the football game. And the Colts appear to have very little structured as far as their game plan. There's not, and I used to say Frank Reich was brilliant at scripting the first 15 plays, but then he was somebody who struggled with coming up with plays spontaneously during the course of a football game. Even those first 15 plays are bad right now. It's just got to get it figured out. Got to get it figured out fast. Colts Denver comes up this Thursday night. All right, let's check in with what else is happening in the world of sports with today's top headlines.
All right, in today's top headlines, the Padres clinched a playoff spot despite losing to the White Sox 2-1 yesterday. Yes, they actually clinched while playing, while losing.
Yeah, and the crowd cheered like you've never heard them cheer before. There was nothing happening at all on the field, but the crowd went crazy because on the scoreboard out of Petco Park, they put clinched. Woo! As soon as Milwaukee lost because the magic number was 1. And so the Padres are on to the playoffs, and I believe that, at least in my mind for now, may be the savior of A.J. Preller's job. If they didn't make the playoffs, he'd have some questions to be answered, I think.
Just might have saved his hide. Zach Wilson led the Jets to a comeback win yesterday. Wilson returned from injury and led two fourth-quarter touchdown drives to bring the Jets back from a 10-point deficit in a 24-21 at Pittsburgh yesterday.
It looks like the new era is on in Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett came in relief of Mitchell Trubisky, and so it looks like maybe Pittsburgh has decided that now is the time to see what the rookie can do for them. But the Jets obviously glad to get Wilson back. This will be a momentum builder for him and for the New York Jets after they've had a couple of embarrassing losses.
Tom Brady raised concern when he came up from a sack in Sunday's night game, noticeably in pain and shaking out his arm. After the game, Brady was asked about the apparent injury, but he shrugged it off. "I'll be all right," he said, "and it's football."
Did he shrug it off or did he just have his arm hanging? Because it looked like it was some type of a shoulder injury when he got sacked kind of hard on that shoulder. And anytime you're dealing with any kind of a shoulder issue, if you have inflammation or anything like that, it could be an issue for quarterback. Even if there's not an injury, sometimes you are hurt. And every little time you hit that or get knocked down onto your shoulder, it could cause issues. But that's part of having a 45-year-old body, right?
Yeah.
The bumps and bruises, tougher to bounce back from. Those are your top headlines for today with Adam Lundy. Still coming up on the show, we look at college football, Indiana, Purdue. We've even got some St. Francis Cougars football. Also, news from the Indiana Hoosiers on the hard court. We've got that all covered before we get to 5 o'clock. It is the Sports Rush Monday edition here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. It is Monday, so coming up in hour number two, we've got Don Fisher, the legendary Hall of Fame voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, who will join us. And found out that Don's a little under the weather today. He's been dealing with a cold for a couple of days. No, it's not that. It's a cold, but he said it's still kind of annoying to try to get through an entire football game while feeling like you've got to blow your nose on every play. He said it was a very rough Saturday to get through the game. And I thought, well, it was pretty rough for those of us that watch the game, too. It was not pleasant to sit through Indiana football against Nebraska. Okay, so you got to think that eventually Tom Allen is clearly going to be on the hot seat. Now, you know, Paul Christ, Wisconsin coach, he gets fired because they have an embarrassing loss to Illinois, who, oh yeah, just happens to be coached by the former coach of Wisconsin, Brett Bielema, right? So there's like a zero tolerance for that kind of loss in Wisconsin, obviously. And you wonder, with the big money that is at play and at stake in collegiate athletics, if the money makes these decisions or pushes these decisions, maybe even more so than just an athletic director deciding this isn't the right guy for the program. Because this Paul Chris situation and the way it was done so quickly and abruptly with what he's done over 8 years seemingly being forgotten in one miserable loss. Now, I think we can all agree Wisconsin's football program has taken a step back or two over the last couple of years, but has it taken a step back enough for a coach to lose his job in the middle of the season, like, and pay the millions of dollars that you're going to owe him in a buyout? I mean, it just seemed like a shocker that Paul Christ is out at Wisconsin. But after what happened with Indiana, and I'm like, boy, they're lucky they don't have the kind of money influencing decisions in Indiana. Because, first of all, I've never seen this before, at least that I can remember, that a kickoff is a touchback, the offense comes onto the field, and before they even have one offensive snap, they have to take a timeout to avoid a delay of game penalty. Now, how bad is that? I mean, you basically have a script. You've already huddled on the sideline. You know what your plan is, what the play call is. If you're going to check out, it should be a very easy, quick check. And Indiana goes onto the field, lines up, and then for some reason cannot get the playoff and has to burn a timeout before they even run a play, before there's even been 1 second off the clock.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's just
unreal. And then they burned another timeout and wasted one. I don't know if you saw this, but later in the first half, Indiana makes a late offensive substitution. Play clock running down. Indiana makes a late substitution with the ball. Well, Nebraska automatically gets the opportunity to then match the substitution Indiana just made and make their own substitution. Well, when the play clock's already down under 10 and you're sending guys running out there on the field,
yeah.
Okay.
And
they can get there before the play clock gets to zero. But the problem is Nebraska can't get their guys onto the field before it gets to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So Indiana had a delay of game penalty with the official standing behind the center, allowing Nebraska to make that switch. So it actually, I don't think, burned a timeout, if I remember correctly. I don't know if it was a timeout or if it was just a delay of game. But
yeah.
Just terrible management.
Yeah, you've seen that. I've seen that once before where the coach had their team run out real slow just after they started switching players. They had their players run out slowly.
Why not?
Just to waste time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you know you're allowed that substitution, nothing says you have to sprint to get out there before the play clock gets to zero.
Absolutely.
Jog out there like you would normally be making a change, and if you make it, you make it. If you don't, ends up being a penalty on the offense, not on you.
There you go.
That's their mistake for not making the change. But, Indiana just a lot of head scratchers. Now, yes, they did play shorthanded because Camper and Matthews were both out of the game, kind of undisclosed as far as what the reason was. Although I can say now it seems like Camper had some type of a non-COVID illness and Matthews still not exactly sure what the status is, but it is some type of an injury. And so you take your top two receivers out of the game. You've got really bad line play, even though you do get one of your key offensive linemen back for this game. But the Indiana Hoosiers cannot run the football. They finally find a guy that can. And what do? They put him in for one series, and then he never showed up again. I mean, Lucas, wow, you talk about some dynamite. This kid, did you see him break ankles of not one but two players on the same play?
No, I didn't, but man.
Yeah, came off tackle.
Yeah.
Gave a little shake and bake, and boom, there goes one defender.
Yeah.
Stumbles over his leg and falls over out of the play. And then Lucas takes off again, heading toward the sideline. Another little head and shoulder fake. Another guy goes down. He had two guys basically break their ankles on the same play. And I say break their ankles. They didn't physically actually break their ankles.
That's, metaphorically.
Yes, metaphorically. So he was dynamic. Now, he's not a very big guy, and so you don't want him to take a lot of punishment. But when you're struggling to find offense and you just found it, why do you put him back on the bench? Makes no sense whatsoever because you feel you owe it to your transfer to give him more snaps. It just, I don't know. Indiana goes down. Just doesn't make sense. Indiana ends up losing it to Nebraska, 35-21. Not even a good Nebraska team, a bad Nebraska team. In fact, everybody basically can score at will against that defense.
Yeah.
Unless you're IU.
Listener weighing in on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862, saying Tom Allen should absolutely be fired. So that's the first opinion we've gotten.
I think at the end of this season, if it isn't a clear step forward after what happened last year.
Yeah.
That will happen. I mean, that, they had that one moment during a COVID year. Okay. For better or for worse, you almost at this point have to look at that COVID year without looking at the rest of the picture because it's like, okay, it was a great year for IU. It was a bad year for other teams. You know what you do? You throw it out and you look at the rest of the picture as far as full seasons. What have they done? How many bowls? And Indiana right now is in a lot of trouble to get to a bowl game. A lot of trouble. They've got to try to beat somebody they're probably not supposed to beat. And this week, somehow, and I think the executives at Fox need to be like maybe checked or examined. Fox has made Indiana, Michigan, the big noon kickoff.
Ooh, that's not going to be...
Now, they did that before the season started.
Yeah, but yeah. That's not going to be a fun one to watch.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe they can do, like, the whole profile on the Indiana basketball team and not really talk about the football team all that much.
Yeah, just show that instead.
Hey, but we should mention Purdue.
Yeah.
How about the Boilers? I don't want to leave them out because...
No.
You know, I don't want to focus on just the bad and the ugly because we've had that with the Colts and the Hoosiers. The Boilermakers go on the road to Minnesota, taking on a nationally ranked Golden Gopher squad. And even though Minnesota played without Muhammad Ibrahim, still an impressive win for the Boilermakers. They played solid defense. Aiden O'Connell did play, but Devin Maccabee.
Yeah, what a breakout game for him.
Came out of nowhere and rushes for 112 yards. Super performance. And Cam Allen, a couple of interceptions. And basically Purdue decided that Tanner Morgan was going to have to beat them. And Tanner Morgan couldn't beat them.
Yeah, no, that was a huge win for Purdue to get that done against Nebraska.
Big win on the road for the Boilermakers. They end up 20.
Against Nebraska, I'm sorry. Minnesota.
Minnesota, I'm sorry, yes. Big win for Purdue against Minnesota, 20-10 on Saturday. O'Connell, 27 of 40, only 199 yards. Minnesota clearly is focused on Charlie Jones over the top.
Yeah.
And so a lot of short receptions for the Boilermakers. And then, and they caused some problems for O'Connell. They had a couple of interceptions on some misfires. But Devin Maccabee, 11 carries, 112 yards, averaged over 10 yards per carry. It's something that's been missing from Purdue for some time, a running game.
And he was a walk-on.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's probably got a scholarship now.
He should.
how can he not earn a scholarship after that performance? But anyway, yeah, so you've got those two. And then, I was talking about high school football. And on Friday, not a lot of surprises. Things kind of status quo, especially at the top of the conferences. Carroll, they took care of Homestead big. You had Norwell blowing out DeKalb 62-14. Adams Central, they put up 63 against Southern Wells and beat the Raiders 63-0. So still the dominance at the top of each conference with Carroll, Norwell, Adams Central, all still unbeaten so far in high school football. John Rothstein, who covers college basketball. Great follow. If you haven't followed him and you're a college basketball fan, you should follow him on Twitter. But he dropped something today about a conversation with Mike Woodson that is well worth discussing. And we're going to do that when we return here to the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Yeah, the Fox Sports ratings for this weekend, television ratings for college football might not peak. Do you think they send Gus Johnson, or would Gus Johnson say, not interested this week? I think I'll take this week off. It's Michigan at Bloomington against the Indiana Hoosiers.
I'm just worried about what the final score will end up being and how quickly it gets out of hand, and just like you're going to lose ratings really quickly.
You know, we play guess the line.
Yeah.
And I was going to guess the line of like 28, 29, 30 points, right?
Honestly, yeah.
And I think it's only like 21 or 22.
Kind of surprising.
If it's still that tonight, I might be all over.
Hop on it.
The Michigan Wolverines. But so Fox is going to bring their entire setup.
I don't know how to feel about it.
College game day is going to Lawrence, to Kansas.
Kansas action.
How about the Jayhawks? They were the laughing stock of basically Power 5 football.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, all of a sudden, 5-0.
All you ever hear was Kansas is a basketball school, and then now they're a football school too.
Well, maybe. It's kind of like Kentucky. Kentucky for years was only a basketball school.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Mark Stoops has made Kentucky into a football school. And of course he often or did send a subtle reminder to John Calipari. I don't know if you saw that little exchange. John Calipari made a mention about Kentucky being a basketball school. And I think Mark Stoops a little bit offended by that comment because of where the football program has elevated itself too. And it's a good football program. It's still not at the top of the SEC, but it's one of those teams that's always dangerous every time you see them on your schedule, especially if you have to go to Lexington. But anyway, yeah, so Fox is going to have their entire crew in Bloomington where it's going to be cold all morning.
How many camera shots of sad IU fans do you think we'll end up seeing throughout the day?
Yeah, the Cobra. We might be seeing, you know, the that look. We'll see what happens, but, you know, and you know what's going to happen is we'll say all these things, then Indiana will, like, pull the shocker.
Of course.
It'll, you know, that just would be such a Tom Allen thing to have happen. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. You got any questions, comments, or suggestions? Speaking of IU, John Rothstein talked to Mike Woodson, and John Rothstein, I think, does a terrific job covering college basketball, and I happen to know on the inside that he works it. I mean, he is on the phone basically 24/7, contacting coaches, SIDs, assistant coaches. He'll contact players. He's got a Rolodex and uses it. And, you know, and so John Rothstein is always coming up with tidbits about college basketball. And he tweeted out this morning, Mike Woodson tells me there are elements of Indiana freshman Jalen Hood-Schifino's game that remind him of. You didn't see this tweet, did you?
No, I did not, and I follow him.
I am going to go blank and see if you can guess. Jalen Hood-Schifino, 6'5 guard, fancy with the basketball, can be a distributor but can also score. You know, I don't know if you'll get it.
Devin Booker?
It is somebody that Mike Woodson actually coached when he was coaching in the NBA.
On the Knicks?
And it is somebody who is now a coach himself in the NBA.
Steve Nash?
No, that's not a bad guess. Jason Kidd.
I was close.
Jason Kidd.
Wow.
That Mike Woodson is already, before he's ever played a college game.
Yeah.
Now, he's not saying that he reminds him directly. He kind of qualified it by saying there are elements of Indiana freshman Jalen Hood-Schifino's game that remind him of Jason Kidd. Woodson coached Kidd when he was the head coach of the New York Knicks. But that, I mean,
That's a lofty comparison.
And it also is, again, raising the bar of expectation.
Yes.
For Hoosiers fans about this basketball team. And I guess Mike Woodson's not going to run from that. He's here. He himself is kind of raising the bar. So, you know, a lot of coaches will try to downplay that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take some of the pressure off by not putting that pressure on. In this case, he's actually adding to the pressure, saying, hey, look, I've got a freshman that I think has parts of their game, elements of their game to be specific, that remind me of Jason Kidd. That's pretty big. 46862. Oh, another big one this weekend. Yeah. I was following this game. It was kind of fun to follow. Ball State, the Cardinals, under head coach Mike New, got down 21-0 to Thomas Hammock's NIU Huskies. We talked about this game on Friday.
Yeah.
That Thomas Hammock, former Bishop Lewis product, now coaching the NIU Huskies. NIU picked preseason to actually win the MAC West. And they were out to a 21-0 lead over the Ball State Cardinals. And the Ball State Cardinals kept playing, kept pushing. And I tell you what, their quarterback is playing fantastic. John Paddock, he ended up, as of today, he was announced as the second consecutive MAC Offensive Player of the Week in the Mid-American Conference. But he ended up the game 40 for 58, 403 yards, three touchdowns. Now, he did have a couple of picks, and that helped Northern Illinois get out to that lead early. But he also led the comeback charge. And Ball State had to overcome a 10-point deficit in like the last 3 minutes and 50-some seconds. And they came all the way back, and they got it tied, forced the overtime, and then Ball State won it, OT. And so, huge win for the Ball State Cardinals. And so, you know who we've got joining the show tomorrow?
Who do we got?
Mike New, Ball State Cardinals football coach. He's going to join us on the Sports Rush coming up tomorrow. But that was a big win. Chirp, chirp for all the Ball State Cardinals fans. I know we got a lot of them here in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, chirp, chirp indeed.
That was a huge win. Once again, for those of you that have been asking about high school football this week, we're kind of in limbo right now trying to figure out exactly the press box arrangement. You know, it is a shame that our press boxes aren't big enough to accommodate everybody who wants to cover high school football.
Yeah, I guess they just got to make them bigger.
Well, or they've got to be more creative in the way they assign seats. But, so we are still working on exactly what's going to be finalized for our high school football schedule this Friday. But, of course, we'll be on the road. You can count on us for 7 hours of high school football coverage. Starts with the Sports Rush. Last week, we went out to Homestead. Man, it was a beautiful day. Now, this week, I saw the weather. I don't think we're doing a road show.
Uh-oh. I haven't checked the weather for Friday yet.
Yeah, low 50s.
Chilly.
Yeah, overnight lows, like mid-30s. It's not going to be the same weather that we've been experiencing.
Nope.
And but we'll have some kind of a game to bring to you on Friday night. It will be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Always are exciting. If you ever want to catch up on any of the games we've broadcast, you can always do that. We've got them available on our podcast page, Fort Wayne High School Sports. And here's the best thing about 1380 The Fan. All of the podcasts that we talk to you about, whether it's Fighting Irish Preview, Talking Sports, Fort Wayne High School Sports, Sports Rush, Caleb and Kenny, all the great podcasts that we have for you. New Track Record, trying to think what other ones I might be missing. Just for Kicks, I think there's a soccer one. Anyway, we've got all of our podcasts available to you by just simply going to the 1380thefan.com website. And if you look at the tabs, at least when I look at it on my screen, all the way over to the right, it says podcast. You click it and it shows you the list of all the podcasts that we have available, that we are publishing and have available for you. And then when you find one that you like, make sure you follow us for free. You can follow the Sports Rush so you never miss a thing that we do here on the show. And whether you listen to podcasts through Apple, through Spotify, through Google, what else is there? I mean, all the different platforms.
If it's a podcast service, we're probably on it.
Probably on it. And but I know even when you go to our website, you have the option of what
which
platform
service.
Yeah, whether you want to listen to it on Apple Podcast, whether you want to listen to it on Spotify. And so that's the way to do it. If you are not sure how to find it there, then follow us once you get to the platform you're most comfortable with. And you can, rate and review even our podcast. But we've got those available. So all of the Sports Rush broadcasts, we have hour one, hour two. So you can listen to whatever you want with the Sports Rush. And then our high school football games, we'll take the play-by-play of those football games and put them up so that maybe if you played in the game or maybe you're a coach, maybe you're a parent that was at the game, want to check it out later, you can always go to the podcast page and listen to any of our high school football broadcasts. I know for a fact, Hanson Hafner, who had a big game, 3 touchdowns on Friday night, his dad was in the stands because when I was younger, I used to play baseball with one of the Hafners. And so I saw Tim in the stands, and of course, his son had a big game. So anyway, you can always listen to them on your schedule by finding our podcast at 1380thefan.com. Plenty more still to come here on the Sports Rush. Colts, the offensive numbers are not very good. We'll give you what they are and where they rank coming up in hour number two. Also, St. Francis football went on the road on Saturday to take on Siena Heights and not so good for St. Francis either. Also, we've got Don Fisher, who is going to join us to talk Indiana football. He'll be on coming up about 30 minutes from now.